People tomorrow, I expect, will be looking forward to receiving gifts. And gifts often come with instructions. Simple things come with simple instructions. I recently received the gift, an electric fan. It's even got a switch on the back. And it came with an instruction sheet. Got a picture to make sure you got the right one. And there's the instructions, how to operate it safely. And a bit more on the back, just to be sure. Now, this is a very simple one, and it doesn't matter whether you turn on the switch here first or the switch at the PowerPoint first. As long as they're both switched on, the fan works, and it works quite well. Complicated gifts, well, they come with longer instructions. And sometimes the instructions are just so long that to save the environment, they don't even print them. They just tell you that if you go on the net, you can download the bits of the instructions that you need. And they're usually catering to the average Australian who figures he knows a lot about a lot of things and he just wings it when he gets something. As long as we get the results that we want, we're happy without reading all the instructions. When something does go wrong, we often seek help from an expert. The expert's someone who's read the instructions and even remembers them. Now, with a fan, as I said, it's very simple to operate. Complicated ones, well, they're a bit more difficult. I got a file the other night and I wanted to run off 4 pages, but I was mean and I wanted to do it all on one sheet of paper. So I flicked all the little things in the printing instructions and all I could get was this. A whole lot of plain paper with 2 very, very shrunken pages. I went back and had another go at it and finally I managed to get it to go. And those 2 shrunken pages then came out like that. Much bigger, and which my wife says now that she can read. And then I even put the other 2 pages on the back. I told you I'm mean. Now, I hit all the right switches the first time, but I didn't hit them in the right sequence. And that was where the problem came about. I didn't follow the right sequence. Now, God created the first people. He created them in his own image. And he gave them instructions on how to live the right way. And he gave them warnings on the peril of disobeying those instructions. The first people, they didn't follow their maker's instructions. And that disobedience has been apparent in every human ever since. God then gave his instructions through the prophets. They even wrote them down, and the instruction manual forms the Old Testament part of our Bibles. Hearing the instructions and being able to read them still did not result in people living the way that God wanted them to live. Now, at Christmas, we give gifts to people who have not behaved perfectly every day of the year past. Often we give them a gift because we love them, even though they're faulty, and sometimes very faulty. Now, about 2,000 years ago, God gave all people a special free gift which none of us deserved. God gave us his only son, Jesus, who was born to Mary. Mary was a Jewish virgin who believed in God. She didn't come from a rich family. She didn't come from a powerful family. She was engaged to a poor carpenter, a member of a small, downtrodden nation, one that was ruled by the Romans. As a human, Jesus had very little going for him, just like babies today who are born in refugee centres like Christmas Island. But as God's only son, Jesus was able to live a perfect life on earth and so qualify as the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for the disobedience of all people. When he reached maturity, Jesus not only explained our Maker's instructions for life, The Bible tells us that Jesus is the perfect image of God the Father. We don't have to imagine what God wants. We can take Jesus' words as being God's words. Jesus is the true expert on how people should live. So we'll have a look now at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God is revealed, it's shown to us in Jesus, who is able to bring us salvation. In John 3:16, Jesus says that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. In John 14:6, Jesus also says that no one comes to the Father except through him. So step one in having eternal life is to accept Jesus as the free gift from God, to believe that his death on the cross is the only way for anyone to get to heaven. Now, when a person realises how much the gift of Jesus cost God, that person is so appreciative that the only way to show their thanks is to give up running life their own way and letting God run their life his way. We'll look at Titus 2, verse 12. We read there, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Thankfully, God also gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to live his way. In this present age refers to the time period between when Jesus was on earth the first time and when he will return to earth again. Step two in having eternal life is letting God run our earthly lives. Now this means that we'll do good things. These good deeds demonstrate our appreciation of God's gift of Jesus to save us. Some people think that they can reverse the sequence of the steps. They believe that if they do good deeds, then God will reward them with eternal life. They're wrong, they're misleading themselves, because there is no way for a person to have eternal life except by accepting salvation through Jesus. This means swallowing any pride that we might have so that we depend entirely on God's gift of grace. Another problem of the people who miss step one is that they don't understand that good is defined by God, not by a politician, a dictator, a democratic vote in parliament, or by a human view of love. You miss step one and you won't understand step two, and the result is that your life will remain offensive to God. We'll read the next two verses. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Step three in having eternal life is looking forward to the time when Jesus returns to earth. When Jesus returns to earth, it will not be as a helpless baby, but as the King of Kings, the ruler of all nations, the boss of the lot, with the government of the world upon his shoulders. The return of Jesus will be accompanied by unmistakable signs in nature, which will be far more impressive than Sydney's New Year fireworks show, more impressive than the thunder and lightning storms that we experience in the hot summer, more impressive than the Christchurch earthquake or the Japanese tsunami. Who will Jesus come for? These verses tell us that he will come for the people that he has redeemed and purified for himself, those who have accepted the free gift from God and who are eager to do what is good in God's sight. Just remember, step one, accept God's gift of grace, salvation through Christ alone. Step two, let the Holy Spirit work in your life, so that you will live a life that is good in God's sight. which is incidentally good practice for heaven. And step 3, look forward in anticipation for the return of Jesus, who will collect those people who love him and want to live his way in heaven for eternity. Now, if you think that the first appearance of Jesus was wonderful and marvellous, just try to imagine how much more will be his next appearance when he returns to a surprised world. Make sure that you follow the steps in the right sequence. First, accept God's free gift, the God's gift of grace, Jesus. Then, second step, let the Holy Spirit change your life to run how God wants you to. And then the third step is to look forward in eager anticipation to heaven, where things are going to be great, and you stay there forever. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you know that we hear a lot of your word because there's lots of words in the Bible, and yet often we don't put it all together the right way. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand your words the right way, that your Spirit will make them clear to us, and that we'll be willing to let you run our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.